there's a psalm that I've sung for years and years and years in Psalm 29, 1 and 2, that talks about giving unto the Lord, all ye mighty. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And those two verses, I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what it means to just give to God in worship and what it means to worship God in the beauty of holiness. Now, in that particular scripture, in that day when they had worship, anybody that came before God, the high priest or the priest, they could not wear their street clothing to come into the temple. You couldn't do it. You had to wear what God told you to wear. You had to have what they called holy garments, which means they kept them separate. They kept them special. They were only used for coming into God's presence. And the high priest had a very elaborate outfit on. Literally, it was covered. His breastplate was covered with jewels. He had jewels on the shoulders, big ones. Jewels on his breastplate with it representing the 12 tribes of Israel. It was made of the finest materials. And it was truly a beautiful garment. So if we sing that song today, I don't think the Lord really wants us to, you know, maybe wear our finest clothes. You know, we really believe in casual clothing here. Though I think this is a pretty nice shirt. Don said so, so I agree. And it's all right. But I want to talk about what the beauty of holiness is, because sometimes people see holiness as kind of a hard thing or a difficult thing, but actually holiness is very beautiful. And the concept of beauty nowadays, as you know, people think that, well, like that song, everything is beautiful in its own way. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Some things, I wish Josh were here because Josh is an art teacher. Some things are really ugly. It ain't beautiful in its own way. It's ugly. And one of Josh's specialties is modern art. So when Liz and Josh got married, I think they spent one of their first trips when they were dating or whenever, they went up to New York to the Museum of Modern Art. And has anybody ever been to a modern art museum? Anybody? Yeah, okay. We've been, and I would go there, and I'd stare at a, you know, someone would throw paint on the wall. They would just throw paint on the wall. They'd say, we're going to put that up, make millions of dollars with it. Or they'll just literally do stupid stuff and just put it up there. And you go in these art museums, you're going like, why am I looking at this picture? Okay, so we cannot go to the world for a definition of what is beautiful, can we? Who is the author of beauty? God. God is beautiful. He is beautiful. The rainbow. How many of you love the rainbow? I love rainbows, right? They're beautiful. Why? Because of the colors. And when we see things, and when I drive, when I go on it, I like driving. Marianne knows that. She has to put up with it. But I like driving. Why? I like seeing natural beauty. I like it. We took a trip. We flew into Vegas, but we only went on the strip one night, maybe two. Why? We were busy driving and seeing the beautiful sights like the Grand Canyon. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The colors, you know, and it's not beautiful in its own way. It's beautiful, okay? We don't have to make that up. You look at it and you're stunned. You're like, wow. Or the different places we went. So there's a beautiful thing about worship. Worship is beautiful. Worship is beautiful. I believe that we are, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to speak this vision here because I'm not seeing it like I need to see it. This place is a generator of beauty. This place is a place where beautiful things are sung, Beautiful things are crafted. Beautiful things are drawn. Beautiful things are done in construction. Beautiful things are done in human behaviors to one another. You can show beauty in more ways than one. And I believe that this place, God has called us to be an artistic, generating place, a place that reflects the glory of God. And so we have people doing drawings here. We have people painting here. Am I right? Yeah. And it's reflecting what God wants us to see. We've written shows here. We've created plays here. We've written songs here. And I believe that God wants us to continue to grow. I just want to almost like take the lid off, because COVID kind of put a lid on stuff. Come on, someone amen to that. Come on. It's time the lid comes off and we begin to release the artistic aspects of what God wants us to do here again. God wants to create and let this place be a creative place. Okay? When we came here, there are things, by the way, our house, with for whatever it's worth, I've been told this by people in the know. Historically, this is not the most beautiful trim work in the entire city of Martinsville. That house. Plaster. Molded plaster. Okay, now it's got issues, right? But what? It was a thing of beauty. Okay? God gave us a beautiful big house. God gave it to us. He gave us a stone wall. That's beautiful. I love it. I love it. Got to take care of it. It's not easy to take care of sometimes. Stones are heavy. But we have a tractor with a backhoe on it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So God has given us some things that are very beautiful, and God wants us to worship Him in beautiful things. But I want to share just a few scriptures with you about how we can, I believe as a church, we're to experience the beauty of the Lord, and we're to reflect the beauty of the Lord. I can sit and just listen to someone play the guitar, and just the beauty of that guitar playing is enough for me. When the Lord's on it. And I've been in places where someone just starts to sing. One person, or like last Sunday, just when Olivia got up here. Why was the Holy Spirit was on it. Why? It was beautiful. God made it beautiful by His presence. God's presence makes you look good. It does. People look better when the Holy Spirit's on them. Better than any makeup, hairstyle, you name it. I've seen transformations come on people when the Holy Spirit comes in their lives. Sin is ugly. Righteousness is pretty. It's beautiful. There's something lovely. Don't let the world fool you in disconnecting God from beauty. It's there. There would be no beauty if there would not be God. And that's why the definition of beauty is trying to be destroyed. Destroy it. Just make anything. It's not true. Not everything is beautiful. I should call this the title. Everything is not beautiful. But you hear what I'm saying? So God wants us to look, and I'm going to show you just a couple scriptures. We're going to start first with Zechariah 3, the story about how this high priest was wearing ugly clothing when he should have been wearing his beautiful garments. And it's a picture of what God's called us to be. I wish I had a picture of it to see it. But what God's called us to be and what God wants us to be. Because in Zechariah 3, it says that Joshua, the high priest, was standing and the devil was accusing him. Next verse. And then What happened was the Lord rebuked Satan, by the way, and that's how you deal with Satan. You rebuke him because that's how the Lord dealt with him. Just rebuke him. That means be quiet. And then the next one, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? So here's the thing. We are without God, without the Lord, we are not wearing, next verse, filthy garments. We're wearing filthy garments. This is the condition of humanity. Even the high priest, the most spiritual person of the old covenant, spiritually, he's standing a bunch of angels. A bunch of angels are hanging out with him, and the devil's there. So we obviously know this is not, they're not hanging out at their restaurant. They are in a very unusual place. They're in a heavenly place. The devil's accusing him, and the other angels are defending him. And before the Lord, he is wearing filthy garments. And that word filthy can really mean soiled. I mean, like, not nice. Really not nice. Not just like dirty, but really dirty. Okay? And filthy. And so he's wearing these garments. And the Lord says, this man, I am going to pour out my grace on him so much that it's going to be like someone taking a burning stick out of the fire and preventing it from being destroyed. And then later on, he talks about the branch. The branch, Jesus, the branch. That's the symbol of, that's the symbol of God, Jesus coming as the Messiah. So he gives him, next verse. Next verse, number 9. And he says, I will engrave an inscription, a single stone with 7 eyes. Now that's a very cool stone right there. I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in a single day. Just like changing your clothes, I'm going to take it all. It's going to be gone. God loves us that much. And then we finish it there with that. But he says, give him fresh garments, a clean turban for his head, right of access with heaven and the angels, all because of God's love. There wasn't anything that Joshua did to deserve the new garments. It was completely and totally because of God's love for him. And that's how we change. If you want to know how to be beautiful, just ask God to make you beautiful. Give you the clothing. Give you the right clothing. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. Look at Luke chapter 15 and the story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son. I mean, I could go right to verse 22, which is what he was given when he came home. But we have the story. Remember, we talked about filthy garments being stinky, not just dirty, right, guys? So the prodigal son was a man that grew up in the father's house and was loved. And he said, I'm going to take the inheritance and I'm going to go do my thing. And he took his money, spent it with wild living, right? And then he had to hire himself. Well, the only guy that would hire him was a pig farmer, right, Jan? Guess what happens when you work with pigs? You smell like them, right? Aaron, did you work with, didn't I have some big pigs where you used to work? Do they smell pretty all the time? Probably not. As a matter of fact, that's all he did. He was hanging out with him. So guess what his clothes smelled like? I mean, yeah. Andrew said, okay, I can tell Erin's home right now. She's been working with the pigs today. Yeah. So the prodigal comes home, right? It says he smells like pig. You know what? And that's what they smell like. He comes home. He was hungry. He wanted to eat what they were eating. How bad he was off. And he comes home, and in verse 22, what does Papa say to him? He says, give him the best robe. The best one. Don't just give them what's sitting on the clothes rack there. Go back and find the best robe. That's what he needs to wear. Just like Joshua had filthy garments, and God says, give him a new outfit and a new turban on his head. God did the same thing for the prodigal son who came home. Got his brother mad. But he gave him the best robe. Can you tell? Turn to somebody and say, God's got the best robe in the closet for you. Amen. The best one. And it's really funny because Heidi didn't know this, what I was preaching on today. Is it Heidi? No, it was Kathy. Kathy didn't know. She was being prophetic this morning because she goes to me and she says, you know, I have a friend of mine. He says, what size are you? And it's a guy, it's this lady who wants to, you know, give away some clothing because she's a widow. And she's got, he says, he's got some really nice shirts, like really nice, expensive shirts, right? So I'll take it. I'll take the best one you got. If it fits, I'll wear it. Why? Because God likes giving stuff to people who don't deserve it. And God wants you to have the best robe. He wants you to have the finest clothing. He wants to change our pig garments for rejoicing and praise. Amen? Wow, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, let's see this because I want to show you in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. That is a list of beautiful things that are inside of you. All right, so I want you to look over here because I was looking. I just want you to know that we got our tomatoes planted early enough this year, guys, so that we have a full crop of tomatoes. So we have just got these beautiful, and they're beautiful. Why? I just love that red color. And so we've got a fruit basket. How do you know that? And does anybody have like a fruit basket artwork in your house? You can pretty much guarantee if you go to someone's house and visit them, somewhere along the line, they're going to have a basket of fruit sitting somewhere or a picture up on the wall of some piece of fruit. Am I right or am I wrong, John? I mean, it's a pretty common piece of artwork looking at some beautiful piece of fruit. I mean, have you had your art students draw, have you had them draw fruit, for example? Isn't that like one of the basic things you got to learn how to do? And like, you got to learn how to draw fruit. Why? Fruit is beautiful. It's beautiful. So I've got these nice, I think they're golds, the red apples, and I've got these beautiful red tomatoes all sitting in the kitchen. And they're beautiful. I look at them, they're gorgeous. Fruit is beautiful. And some fruit more than others, but I guess what I wanted to share is that the fruit of the Spirit is the beauty of the Lord on the inside. So the presence of the Lord can affect your body. I've seen people turn beautiful by the presence of the Lord because they start smiling. For me, I was never beautiful. Guys, we're called looking good, okay? Girls are good looking. Guys are looking good. And that's okay. So you don't have to call any guys beautiful, but I started smiling a lot when I got saved. That was one of the first things that immediately changed in my life when I got saved. I just started smiling. I was kind of a happy guy, but nothing like I was now, what I was immediately. 17 years old, boom. I just started smiling. I couldn't stop. And what is listed as the fruit of the Spirit? What is it? Love, joy. The second thing, that's a beautiful characteristic of a human being, is a happy person. I think angry people are ugly. Yes. It's true. When someone's mad, their face gets contorted, right? Their eyes start to bulge. You know, I mean, come on, I've done a little acting coaching. When someone's mad, you don't look like the way you're looking now. You have to do things to your body to contort it, to make it look angry, to make yourself look angry. It's just true. It's the same thing with love. Love, joy, peace. Come on. What is it? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All of that is beautiful. It's on the inside. Keep going. Next verse, 23. Gentleness, self-control. They got those two more things. Sorry. Gentleness and self-control. Now, gentleness is a beautiful thing. Gentleness is a beautiful thing. It does not, being not gentle means what? Rough, pushy. That's ugly. Bossy. I don't use that word very often. Okay. So God wants us to be beautiful, and it's very fruitful. And I think the fact that we use a lot of fruit to decorate is an example of making things beautiful. All right, let's go on. Now, last but not least, the Bible is about a wedding, and the whole book of Revelation is about a wedding. We had the famous wedding a couple of years ago in April. Well, not just April, but you know what I'm saying. It was a beautiful thing. It is beautiful. The whole thing about weddings is the beauty of where you are and who you are. And on the inside and the outside. Isaiah 61 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah 61:10. My soul shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me. There's the garments. Here it is. With the garment of salvation. The garment of salvation is beautiful. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. It's a beautiful garment. What kind of garment is it? It's compared to, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest. You see that? The connection between the bridegroom and the priest, the high priest. And guys, we look good, man. You wear a suit when you get it for a wedding. We still do that with beautiful headdress, except in the Bible times, men dressed up by how fancy their hat was. That was a big part of the looking good. And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isn't that interesting? That for a woman here, the jewels of the bridegroom are connected to the jewels of the high priest. So women, you are sons of God. You are the great high priest, just like we are the bride. Us guys, we're the church. We are the church. And jewels are amazing. That's the other thing about a wedding. Weddings are about jewels. And jewels is the beauty of an ordinary stone, but it's been through something. And when you cut it just right, it's beautiful. And that's a whole nother topic right there we could get into. As the earth brings forth its sprout, as a garden causes what is sown to sprout up, so the Lord will cause the righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Amen. I believe the worship that we have here and the artistic creativity that is here, we have yet to really tap what's here. And there are more people. I believe God is going to bring more people here to birth and to generate beauty that the Lord has for the nations, not just here, but for the nations. There's going to be some beauty that's coming out of here. We have yet to see it. I'm telling you guys, I had the most fun time talking to a lady who used to be in Bassett. Her name is Kendra White. She used to have a dance studio in Bassett. And she's now in Richmond. And I was talking to her because I was asking her if she wants to go to Rwanda with us. She can't do it this year, but I got to hear a little bit her heart about dance. And that's an area that I don't do. I do it as I make a joyful noise. I do movement, okay? Other people do dance, okay? Why? But we were sharing about the nature of beauty and anointing in just movement in God's presence. The lady's got the goods, okay? She worked a lot with Dr. Todd Foster up there at his church. And that's how I met her. But I've seen it. I've seen it in shows. I've seen it. I've seen the anointing in shows. And a godly person can get up and dance in a show that's not even a Christian show and bring the presence of God just by moving without saying one word. You guys can do the same, whether it's the visual arts, whether it's dancing, whether it's singing, whether it's writing poetry, whether it's creating, working with stones, working with clay, whatever it is. This place is just too plain. I believe God wants to fill this place and do more with it. I just do it. I'm just telling you guys. We're going to finish Revelation 19:6. Revelation 19:6. I love this now. Okay. Revelation 19:6. Then I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters. I love this. This is worship that's going on in heaven right now. And this is worship that can happen here, where there's a voice that comes from a group of people, and it doesn't have to be huge, but it can come out like a roar because of the Holy Spirit's presence. And it's like the many waters and the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that's us, has made herself ready. Amen. How does the bride make herself ready? It's all about getting that dress on and getting it all together before the wedding. That's the sort of the last thing you do, right? You get there, you get everybody in place. The groom's waiting a whole lot usually, maybe longer than usual, but they have to wait. Why? She ain't ready yet. What is she doing? She is getting herself beautiful. That is what the church is doing right now. The church is getting herself beautiful by clothing herself with Jesus, by getting the pearls of great price, by having the jewels of the Holy Spirit that he puts on you. The glory of God is like a jewel. And we're getting ourselves ready with the glory of God. And this glory is beautiful, and it's Jesus in us. It's the good news about Jesus. It's only Jesus that makes us beautiful. It's him inside of us. It's his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. It's the combination. He's the vine, right? And the fruit is what comes out of our branch by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So we are getting ourselves clothed, and as we're clothing ourselves, we are preparing ourselves for the marriage supper. These are the true words of God. And I fell down at his feet to worship him, the angel, but he said to me, "You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers." Why? We are sons of God. We are sons of God. We have no business worshiping angels because we're sons of God. We are sons of the Most High, and Jesus is our elder brother. And because of Jesus, we have been birthed into the sons and daughters of God, and we are his children. And we are not worshiping anything less than that. I don't care what it is in the world. We're sons of God. And we hold on to the testimony from Jesus. Worship God. Here we go. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Our beauty and our fruit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, and patience, it's the love of God that comes as we testify of Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. It's the testimony as we testify about God's goodness, about what Jesus has done for us, that Jesus Christ is in us. God makes us beautiful with the beauty of Jesus. And the thing is, a person, if you've seen the movie about Jesus and when he was crucified, Jesus was the ugliest. I mean, a crucified person on the cross was the ugliest thing you've ever seen. But Jesus became ugly on the cross so that we could be beautiful on the throne. He took our ugliness. He took the stinky pig suit. And he gave us the best robe. The best robe is the robe of Jesus. That's the best one. Not the robe of Moses. Not the robe of any other person, any other religion. It's the robe of Jesus. It's his garment. That is the beautiful, most beautiful thing ever. And God has it for you. Jesus took it on the cross. He took our stink. He became beaten, ugly, deformed, crushed. Let's just bow our heads. Crushed. He took our ugly that we might be beautiful. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you now offer us the garment, the beautiful garment of praise. And Lord, the high priestly garment that had beautiful jewels all over it and a headdress, a head turban that covers our thought life so that we can walk with beautiful thinking as well as beautiful emotions. So our emotions, our thoughts, our desires are beautiful. So that when we come out into the world, that can be a very ugly place, that beauty is like an armor. That shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, they're beautiful, but they also protect us from the ugly that's out there. And Father God, we just thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us. That he became ugly that we might be beautiful in God's eyes. And that we would be the part of his bride that has made herself ready. We're ready. We're ready, Lord. We're ready because you've given us the garment that we need to wear for this wedding. In Jesus' name.